Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, thank you for checking in with Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Lisa Dent, Steve Bertrand. We've got Kevin Powell and Mary, a whole team here. Great producing staff. We're building a new show, and we're glad that you're giving us maybe 5 or 10 minutes of your time. One of my favorite people in Chicago is Howard Tolman. He is on the phone right now. Howard is a serial entrepreneur. He was such a big part of 1871, the tech incubator. Now he's in with investors and disruptive innovators. And more than that, he's a Chicagoan and he gives back to this community through service on different boards. And I'm just glad that you're joining me for the first show. How are you today, Howard?
Great. I'm happy to be here. Congrats on the new show. I'm very excited. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. So I know that I've always wanted to ask you this exactly. What is the G2T3V stand for?
Well, that's one of those things, you know, as the CIA says, if we told you, we would have to kill you. And so I can't really. But I tell you what, from the 5 years at 1871, which was probably the easiest email you could ever have, it is a pain in the ass to have G2T3V, which no one in the world gets at least the first 5 times. So
yeah, exactly. So general managing partner at G2T3V and Chicago High Tech Investors, but basically a serial entrepreneur. And I identify you to be one of the most smart, the smartest guy in the room. So he writes columns for Inc. online, written about 450 of them. And you get about 2 million views a day, right?
Yep, we do.
I love that you're just so low-key. And so I was intrigued by the article that you wrote called Happy New Year, Now You're Fired. Because I think most of us are like, wait, it's a new year, and I'm sure the employers that write our checks love us, but that's not necessarily so. If you are a startup business, there are certain people you need to get rid of to make sure that you start off the year right. And who are those people?
Well, first of all, look, I mean, it's probably the toughest time, the second toughest time to let people go. The first is right before the holidays, I suppose. But, you know, I really think, especially coming out of, you know, the last couple of years, that everybody has to be, you know, playing their A team, and everybody has to be rip roaring, ready to go. And, you know, if you have people who are, you know, there's a couple of different sort of buckets. I mean, first of all, if they're just lazy or, you know, not interested in the job, or, you know, and we have this whole thing going on with the Great Resignation. I think the Great Resignation is going to turn into a huge surprise for a lot of these people who think that there are a million better jobs just waiting for them. You know, that this is absolutely the grass is greener. But if somebody's not happy or just not doing their job, then they should go. And the main reason they should go is not even so much that they're not getting stuff done. It's contagious. And people look around and your team says, you know, I'm just going to stay here for a little while and see if management wakes up and takes action. Otherwise, I'm going to go find a better place where they appreciate, you know, my talent. So part one is the people who are just lazy or not with it. Part two is, you know, people who, you know, I like to call it, who've been, you know, fired, but don't quit. I mean, they've, you know, they're completely checked out. They're happy to take the paycheck. They're just not doing anything. And, you know, they're really destructive. And then the last group, and this is sort of sad, but, you know, we are in a time when technology has just run beyond people. And, you know, I really believe in lifelong learning. I think that everybody needs to keep honing their skills and improving their skills. But you're going to end up with some folks who just aren't up to the job. And, you know, honestly, the best thing you can do for them is, you know, is give them a soft landing and hope they can find a place where whatever talents they do have, you know, can be used and valued, or maybe they'll go back and get the training that they need. But, you know, having people that can't cope with the new digital world is a real problem for a lot of businesses. And by the way, this is not just for startups. I mean, Inc. is for entrepreneurs of every size, shape, and age. And, you know, we have an audience that is, you know, really diverse in that sense. And everybody has these issues.
This is Howard Tolman. We're talking about an article that he wrote for Inc. Online that it's titled Happy New Year, Now You're Fired. He knows about startups. He knows about business. He's the general managing partner of G2T3V. I know that doesn't mean much to you, but look it up. And all about Chicago's high-tech investors. So it is hard because it's sometimes... We all know those people that we work with that have checked out or they're just complaining all the time, and it is contagious and it brings down the productivity of everyone. But why is it that it's hard to fire them? I mean, if you take the emotion out of it, I mean, if you see someone's not doing their job or they're kind of ruining the environment, why is it so difficult for some managers to fire them? I want you to answer that question coming up next. But first, we'll get a check on the weather with Mary. What's happening? Kind of ironic that we came out of a ZipRecruiter spot, isn't it? Your job could be posted. You might be the next one out the door. Happy New Year, Now You're Fired is the title of the article, Inc. Online. The author is Howard Tolman, a Chicago and a serial entrepreneur. And Howard, I love the article because in it, it talks about being the person that needs to fire people who are not producing. And you said CEOs go bald, tearing their hair out when they're forced to participate in touchy-feely meetings. Like, well, we should give them another break. We should give them another chance. They've got kids. And you're saying... that's not the issue.
Well, that's certainly what gets in the way, because everybody's got an opinion and very few people want to, you know, have conflict. I mean, they want to have conversations. They want to have new chances. They want to have everything. And they rarely give you credit for the fact that, you know, you've tried those things. And, you know, I sometimes say you can't push a rope, you know, and you can't shoot pool with one either. And what that means is that after a certain point, you just have to, you know, basically fish or cut bait. And it's hard. And it's hard to explain that to people who aren't on the hot seat of making the final decision. One of the fantasies of startups is that everybody's a family and everybody's in it together and everybody is rooting for everybody else. And I always say the hardest job in a startup is the sales manager, because on Fridays when everybody is going out to have a beer together, the sales manager is figuring out who he has to fire because they didn't meet their sales objectives. And so he's not exactly welcome at the at the beer blast later that evening, but that's the job. And the CEO's job is just more of the same. You've got to make the hard decisions. And, you know, that's just how it is. But especially now when we're trying to make sure that everybody is, you know, ready to go and is back. I mean, people are suffering through all kinds of angst and changes in their own lives. And, you know, I've written a bunch of articles about, you know, not begging people to come back, you know, because if you have to beg them to come back, you're sort of buying a problem. I mean, the truth is you want people who are coming back because they believe in the mission, they believe in the company, and they're willing to do what it takes to get the job done. If they don't, you know, they need to be doing something else. I mean, you know, it's not a democracy. It's really a situation where you have to make hard choices. And I think the companies that succeed, you know, years down the line, they maybe don't remember all of the steps that it took to get there. But the truth is that it's not easy. It's never an easy conversation to have. But in a way, you're doing people a favor because you're giving them an opportunity to go somewhere where they can be more successful.
That's so true. That is so true. This is Howard Tolman, General Managing Partner of G2T3V, also one of the guys who helped put 1871, the tech hub, on the map. And he's a high-tech investor, a serial entrepreneur. And I will tell you, Howard, I got fired from a job that I had moved to San Diego to take this job. And when he fired me, he looked at me and he said, "You'll thank me." And I thought, Thank you. I just moved from Rockford, Illinois to take this job. My husband gave up his career. How could I ever find it in myself to thank you? But I'll tell you what, 9 months later, when I beat him in the ratings, I went back into his office, threw the rating book down on it and said, hey, I wanted to say thank you. I just got a bonus by walking across the street and working somewhere else. And at that point, he confided in me and said, hey, look, I hire people young. I work them hard. I burn them out. And then I move them on. And we don't want to look at business that way, especially after the pandemic. But part of it is getting yourself into the right situation as an employee, right? To know what is expected of you. And every job has an expiration date. As a CEO, wouldn't you say when you hire someone, you kind of have an idea of how long they're going to be there?
Well, I think we hope that people will grow in the job. That's the best defense to not timing out. In other words, if you grow in the job, if you can take on more responsibility, if you continue to make a contribution, then there's no time limit. There's nothing magic about that. I mean, the truth is, unfortunately, you know, this is another one of these things that kids coming up think that there are all these shortcuts and tricks of the trade and stuff. And the truth is, the biggest trick of the trade is to put your head down and work your butt off, you know. And you know, I think that I wouldn't say automatically that we bring on a whole bunch of people. The law firms do this. You know, the law firms will bring in 30 associates and know that five of those, you know, are going to make partner and the rest are going to be gone over the years. You know, attrition is expensive, and it's not something in a startup that you want to do. You much prefer to do, you know, growth and advancement within your businesses. But for sure, some people aren't going to work out. And, you know, the sooner you do them that favor, the happier everybody will be. You know, we always say when the dust settles after you've let somebody go, you say to yourself, you know, I should have done it a long time ago. And so, you know, and so one of the things I said in the article is that, you know, most managers would tell you they never fired anybody too soon. They never regretted, you know, that.
That's true. I mean, I've been in that position, too, where I thought, why did I wait that long? Not only does that work in issues of employment, but marriage as well sometimes. If you know the divorce has to happen, don't put it off. Just get it done. This is Howard Tolman, and he's on top of everything. You're a Chicagoan. We're lucky to have you in this town. Who are the three public officials that you would fire right off the bat?
Oh, that's the easiest question I've ever been asked. It's got to be the mayor, Kim Fox, and this idiot who runs the courts, you know. So, I mean, listen, I've known Tony Preckwinkle for a long time, and I actually respect Tony Preckwinkle, but I don't respect the fact that she continues to support these folks who are just doing a horrible, horrible job in the county in so many respects. So, I mean, and I told her that, you know, directly because, you know, for years, I mean, she was honestly, she would have been an infinitely better mayor than the mayor that we have, which is a whole nother, you know, conversation.
Right.
I mean, one of the only reasons we probably are going to have this mayor for a while is we don't see people coming up in the pipeline who represent a better opportunity. That's what's so scary.
So you think the mayor will win re-election?
Well, I'm sort of hoping she doesn't run because I think much like Trump in a way, she won this job, and I don't think she ever expected to win this job. When she started, I think she thought it would be great visibility to go on to be the attorney general for the state of Illinois. And lo and behold, because of, you know, a minority of a minority of a minority voting, she ended up winning the job. And I think she was as surprised as anyone. So, you know, when you start with that and then you add some of the things, and you heard in your last segment some of the things that are going on, I mean, I don't know if she's emotionally suited to this job. I mean, it's a hard job, and you have to deal with people you can't stand, and you can't abuse them in texts and all this.
Okay, now, Howard, I know that you were dear friends with Rahm Emanuel. Don't tell me that he didn't abuse or bully a few people during his term.
Yeah, listen, the difference was that Rahm, you know, nobody had to like Rahm. They just had to respect him and understand that he was trying to do the best for the city. I don't think she's won the respect of anybody. I mean, I think that's the real difference here. I just think that people think that she's not up to the job and that she's not doing a good job of it, even if she was. And, you know, look, the voters are the voters. And I, you know, I used to say if horses could vote, there would never have been cars, you know. But the fact is the voters will decide, and hopefully, you know, we'll suffer through 2 years here more before they decide. But I don't know what to say.
Who do you think throws their hat into the ring for the next election?
Well, I feel like one group is pushing Arne Duncan. One group is certainly, you know, I'd love to have Maria Pappas do it, actually.
Okay.
I think she's a competent, experienced, unbelievably personable, you know, woman who is, you know, well regarded across the board and very committed to the city. And, you know, then I think we'll have a collection of different people, none of whom is particularly up to the job. But this is sort of the way it works, you know, and that'll be narrowed down. I don't know. You know, Tom Dart, I mean, an interesting guy, you know, did a lot for the jails. But now the jails are having all kinds of problems of their own. So I don't know.
We'll see. Well, I always love getting your opinion, and I love having a conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining us on the first show of the new year. We really appreciate it.
All right. Congrats again, and all the best.
Thank you. Howard Tolman, he is the general managing partner of G2T3V. Don't ask me what that is, because he said it's like he'd have to kill me if he told me. I'm Lisa Dent. This is Chicago's Afternoon News.